worshiping God. There's a difference between just clapping and magnifying your God and giving him glory. The Bible tells us that he will call those that are to worship him in true worship in the spirit. That's a paraphrase. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's when we engage God in the spirit, when we're singing, that we begin to worship him. Anybody can offer up lip service unto God, and we know what lip service is. It's a form of godliness. But it's not true godliness. It's a form of praise and worship that those who are not born again of the Spirit offer. You can find them in every church across the world. Those who have not committed their life to him, but yet they want to choose to try to glorify and praise and worship him because they think that he is their God. But you don't make him your God until you have bowed your heart and soul unto him. You have to give your life to him. You, me, we have to give our lives to him. Remember Nicodemus asked the Lord, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord said to him, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus was confused, and he said, how can I enter my mother's womb again and come out again? Jesus explained to him, you must be born of the Spirit. You must allow yourself to enter into him so that you can then come out a new creation. A new creation. Newly recreated, you and I. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You cannot grab a hold of a spiritual thing with your natural mind. You can only perceive and grasp the things of the Spirit by the Spirit. That's why he gives us the Spirit. If you in your intellect and your wisdom think that you can understand the things of God, then you are sitting outside of him. You're going to have to grasp this for yourself. You're going to have to come to a faith in yourself to understand what he is trying to say to us. Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you that this day you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. There's nothing more important, more glorious, Father God, than serving and magnifying you. We thank you that you bring us to this day, a pinnacle in our life, Father God, to hear your word, to understand you by your Spirit, Lord God. Our endeavor is to grow closer to understanding more and more of you, to, Father God, becoming those people, Father God, that you desire for us to be, those people, Lord God, that Jesus gave his life and blood and then rose again, that we, Father, could become something else. We have to understand that these things are comprehended by the Spirit. There was some discussion at the prayer one Wednesday. I can't remember what Wednesday it was, and we were talking about all the Christians over the world, how the United States can call itself a Christian nation and have so many people who don't want to really know Jesus. They just want to be a Christian. They heard about Christian people. Oh, the Christian people are good and they're lovely and they're kind and they do good things. And oh, I want to be represented by them. And our nation calls itself a Christian nation. We know this, right? That's a good statement. That everybody kind of agree with that. But we know that people who call themselves Christians, they're not all Christians. And this was confusing to some at the prayer meeting when we were talking. How can this be so? How can you call yourself a Christian and then not really be a Christian? not really want to know what it means to be one. There are people sitting in every church today who think exactly like that. But I don't want us to think like that. I want us to be Christians. So we're going to talk about that this morning, being a Christian. Because I think it's important for us to know what it is. Because God did something for us. To those who call upon his name, he gave the power to become the sons of God, right? He gave us the power through us being born again to be his children. Jesus came and gave his life, poured it out dramatically. We weep at the cross because of how he suffered on our behalf, how he poured out his soul. He didn't have to do that. But did he have to do that? In order to bring us into the place where we could become like him. Several Sundays ago, we talked about purpose, the purpose of God, the purpose of God. The things that are happening in the earth today, God has germinated from the beginning, started it. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, I have finished the work. What was the work that Jesus finished? It was the bringing forth of the body of Christ. Believers sought after him. People who were, by Acts, walk in the way. What way is that? The way of Christ. Now, we mentioned at one point, you know, some people think that Christ is Jesus' last name. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the revelation that he came to bring to us. It is where we get that what we are called Christians. And we know that the devil wants to not make it so. He wants to confuse people about that. I got lots of things rolling around on the inside of me. And so you're going to have to hear about the Spirit this morning. Right? He's our teacher anyway. Holy Spirit needs to teach you what you need to know. So grab a hold of yourself. Hear these words, but hear them through the Spirit that's in your spirit. Grab a hold of the thing that you need from God as we speak this morning. I'm not seeking to confuse you. I'm seeking to give you the word of God this morning. Amen. The word that he gave to me for you. Not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. How can you and I tell this? Let me get over to my notes and maybe it'll make more sense to you. Man, I could preach it right out of myself here today. In John 6:67, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's see if we can start here. Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away, and do you too desire to leave me? And I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, which amplifies some of the words in the scriptures from the King James. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words, the message of eternal life. And we have learned to believe and trust, and more, we have come to know, surely, that you are the Holy One of God. The Christ. Have you come to know that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Christ. We don't, that word is unfamiliar to us sometimes, other than when we say Jesus Christ. But here it says that Christ is the Anointed One. Do you know Jesus as the Anointed One? The Son of the Living God. Jesus Christ is the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And there are many scriptures that talk about him being Christ. but let's go over to Galatians 4:19. I was praying, and you know, I just praying in the spirit, and to understand, some of you haven't got to this place yet, but I want to encourage you to get to this place. You need to seek God for a Holy Ghost baptism in your life, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues. That's how they received it in the New Testament. And you say, why? But the Bible tells us that when you pray in the Spirit, that you're praying mysteries and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, from God, to yourself and for others. He allows you to intercede in that prayer language. But that is an exercise of your spirit, your new created being. So some of you have denied that. Some of you said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to let my spirit man soar to God. And it's because of your natural mind cannot understand the spiritual things that God has placed in you. You may have heard this message before. But in order for you to understand more of God, you got to do what God says to do. I don't understand how it works. I just know it does. When I sit and start to open my heart to God, immediately he starts to talk. Why? Because I'm connected to him by his spirit. I only know that because when I begin to pray in the spirit, he begins to illuminate my heart and mind with the scriptures. He begins to open them up. I'll share one of those with you. Well, not right now, but I'll share how he did that to me. But he does it over and over again. But you have got to want to have that. Some of you want to excel, go further than you are right now. You want to move in the spirit, and you want to be able to bless people with, I don't know, signs and wonders. You want to be able to lay hands on them and heal them. That's available to every Christian, to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Not because of you, but because of who's in you. But how do you get to that place where you can allow your mind to shut down and your faith to arise so that you can then work the works of God? You build yourself up. This tells us this in Jude. Build yourself up by what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you want to be more like him. Because you truly want to be a Christian. I haven't told you exactly what that is yet, but I think some of you already know. So if you don't judge yourself, if you don't begin to say, well, what am I doing? If I'm to identify with him, these things have to occur in my life. You have to tell yourself that. You have to say, God, I want this, and I want these things in my life. And you have to begin to then follow after what he says. I preached a sermon way back about growing in grace. Once you become born again, it doesn't stop there. A seed is entered into you. Your spirit is newly created. Then it must then begin to grow because Paul speaks of it all the way down, child of God. You are a child of God that then grows into what? A young woman, a young man of God who grows into what? A man, a woman, fully grown, adult, child of God. Into a spiritually mature adult child of God. Can I call myself that? Well, there are things in the New Testament Paul preaches to us. It is his aim, Galatians 4:19. It is his aim. My little children, for whom I again suffering birth pains until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. This is Paul's prayer. He's talking to the Galatians. But this is what he was praying in his heartfelt prayer for all the church. My little children, for whom I again suffering birth pains until Christ is completely and permanently formed. He, as being their pastor or the apostle at the time, he is praying. He is going through birth pains to see his fellow brothers and sisters molded after Christ, till Christ be formed in you. Some of you go, I'm just fine where I am. I can stay around, you know, you go ahead and do that. But, you know, you let them other people do that. And we can see across the world how people have sat down. People who call themselves Christians, they may have gotten born again, but then they didn't grow any longer. Or they grow in, how would I put this? They grow like, they grow by, I haven't got a word for it. But they hardly grow at all. They just stay there and suck up the sunlight, and I'm just going to stay right here and I'm not going to be anymore. And, you know, Jesus allows us to do that because he created you a new person, a new creation, and he's looking to you to do something in order to get someplace. But we talked about how that he did something when he finished the work. Jesus started something. He made available into the earth. The Holy Spirit came, and then something started to happen. The body of Christ formed. And the body of Christ is who Jesus is coming back for, right? And we know that body of Christ has to be what? Full of the glory of God. Look around you today. Can you recognize the body of Christ? It's a question. Can you recognize the body of Christ? That's a good response. So Paul praying to Christ be formed in you. He's endeavoring. He says here birth pains. So he's suffering, it says. He's calling on the God of all the might, with all his might and soul, and he's praying for his fellow brothers to Christ before. And he's preaching the word. He's coming and he's giving them the word. And he's trying to use the Old Testament to give them revelation of what has happened to them, to bring them into a place where God is then changing them till Christ be formed in them, so they could then call themselves Christians. Now, when you remember, they didn't get to be called Christians till after the Acts, second chapter, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. They began to speak in unknown tongues and languages and so forth. And then they went out. Jesus told them to wait. He said, wait for the promise. He rose from the dead, showed up in front of them, blew their mind. And then he said, but you are not yet ready. 3.5 years he preached the word unto them. 3.5 years he had the word germinating. They at one point he was preaching, and he preached so sternly and so hard, they said, Master, and some of the disciples left. You remember that verse? Do you guys remember how the disciples left because he preached about his body being the bread and his blood being the wine, and you have to eat and drink me? And they were like, oh, this is too hard. And his disciples, a lot of them left. He went to the 12 and he said, will you leave also? And they said, how can we leave? You the one that got the words of life. Do you think like that? When you hear a hard saying that you can't understand, but yet I can't go. I'm going to have to just suck it up and take this. He blew their mind out of their, they were listening with their carnal mind, their flesh, and they could not understand what he was talking about. But yet they knew he was the Son of God. They couldn't leave him. That's those 12. Now the other ones left him. They left. This is too hard for me. Pack my bag. See you later, Jesus. I'm going over here to where I could just eat regular bread and drink regular wine. Got to worry about that spiritual stuff. Good day in the morning. What's wrong with those people? Come on, get a revelation. Hear by your spirit what Jesus is saying. So it was too hard for them. And Paul is laboring in the spirit to help Christ, this Christ, formed in them so that they can call themselves Christians. So I don't want to shock you. I'm trying to build you up to the shock. I'm trying to get you a little close before I come out and say it to you, because I know it's going to shock a lot of you. And I don't want it to shock you. I want you to, hopefully the Holy Spirit's been already teaching you about it. Got to get out of yourself and into Him. Got to get out of your way into His way. And a lot of us sometimes go, I can't understand that stuff. God, just bless me and just let me have this little over here. Us forward, no more. I don't got to worry about all these people out here that need to be born again and saved. Just, I ain't got to be a witness. You know, you ain't got to give me that Holy Ghost. I ain't got to speak in no tongues. You know, I ain't got to talk like I'm crazy. I ain't got to be like I'm fanatical. I don't have to be like what they call me, because they're going to call you that once you get into being a recreated being. We say, why are you saying it like that? Because you don't seem to understand what you are. Recreated. Now, I was Curtis before I was born again. I got the same outside, but when he came into me, I became a recreated spirit. Recreated. You're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. Old things have passed away. What old things? The way I used to think. The way I used to walk. My life experience now is caught up in Jesus. Jesus, the one and truly and the only. Every time I go somewhere, every time I think about it, he's always on my mind. When I'm talking to people that I don't know, he's always on my mind. He's saying, and I'm saying, do I need to say something? Do I need to say something to him about Jesus? How can I not shock him? How can I not get really crazy about it and lay my hands on him? Jesus, help me. Help me reveal Jesus to you. Help me, Jesus. Always on. He said, why is that? Because God is the only one who has a vision for you and I. You mean I can't have my own vision? You mean I can't have my own stuff? No, you cannot have your own stuff. You need to go to God and get his vision. How do you think you labor when you're teaching? How do you think you labor when you're praying? How do you think you do that? Oh, I just do it because, you know, I kind of want to. Well, it's feel good. I'm going to do it. The vision of God, the culmination and the bringing forth of the body of Christ in the earth. Why? Why do you want the body of Christ to come? Because then Jesus can come. He can't come until the body of Christ is full of the glory. It's got to be full of the glory. Why is he going to come back for a dead church? Why is he going to come back for a church that lays down, don't do anything? Why is he coming back? Why is he going to come back, Doug? Why? Why is he coming? When you and I haven't even begun to do the thing that he promised that we would do. Come on. Get on the ball. Get on the ball plan and begin to do your part. We're all part of the body of Christ. We know this. These words, Louis and Manny been preaching these words in Bible study on Sunday mornings over and over and over and over. You've been in this church, some of you for 20-some years. Vince been preaching the word over and over and over. He's passed away now, and Pastor Eric has come, and he's been preaching the word over and over and over. And you are still sitting here thinking, what am I? Can I really do this? Where is God? Is he not in my service? Where is he at? Oh my God, I gotta go call. What's going on? How much word do you need to be till Christ be formed in you? Well, you need a lot of word. So I am not here, listen to me. I'm not here to condemn you. I am not about condemnation. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us there is no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit. So if you're feeling condemned because of these words, guess where you are? come on, where are you? If you're condemned, then you're not in the spirit. So you got to be able to take those words and be able to go, okay, God, I need to get where you are. You say, how come you can say that? Because I've already been through it. He told me that. Who told you? Jesus told me that. He said, why are you feeling condemned? I said, I feel bad because I just can't, I don't understand. God, he said, the Bible tells me, this is Jesus saying to himself, there is no condemnation to them who are walking after the Spirit. And I said, he said, where are you then? I said, how can I? Because he said you can't be in two places at the same time. You can't walk in the Spirit and in the flesh at the same time. If you're walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation because you're not walking in the flesh. Because you're walking where? In the Spirit. Can't walk in the Spirit and the flesh. Now I'm gonna give you something. I need to wait. Something God gave me about that. But I'm gonna finish this up first. So, Christians, you ready for it? I try to give it to you a little lightly. What is a Christian? Anyway, I mean, some of you could probably have already thought about it before and go, okay. A Christian is Christ, Jin, just like you may have a Virginian. People are Virginians, people who live in Virginia, Virginians, right? You call that title the first part and you add that yin on the end, ayin. So a Christian is an anointed one who follows after Jesus. I want you to grab a hold of what's in your heart today and determine what is anointed. Bible says that Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, going about doing what? Good. Full of the Holy Ghost. So the people in Antioch, in Acts, I think it's the 11th chapter, they were talking about the way, and they said they were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Because Paul and I think it was Barnabas were preaching the word of God, and they began to do signs and wonders, and they began to behave and act like Christ. And they said, because they're acting like Christ, we're going to call them Christians, the anointed one and his anointing. We haven't got there yet. This is what your growth should be talking about. This is why you should be reading your word. I need to be an anointed one because then I can call myself a Christian. I need to begin to spur on and do those things that God told me. I need to have confidence in the one who's recreated me to speak the word of God. Revelation of God. Let me give you this word. Revelation of God entails this. He can do anything and everything that is provided and required of him to do for you. I was early in my Christian walk, when my wife was going through some financial issues, and I'm praying, I'm giving, and I'm thinking, God, this is hard. I can't want to have enough money. We need some money. I was working four jobs at one point to provide for my family. I had four kids, a wife, had a mortgage, had cars, and so forth and so on, and I was just drowning. And so I went to the Lord, and I said, this is not working. Not working for me. It might be working for you, but it ain't working for me. I said, what is going on? And in my little place in where I was in my walk with God, the Spirit of God said to me, what do you want? He says, I have a million ways to get you $1 million. Now, you say, why would he say that to me? That blew my mind, because I was just looking for one. I was just give me one way, Lord, I don't need to be. But because he said that to me, I began to understand who he was. It wasn't the fact that I just didn't have lack. It was the fact that I wasn't depending on him, because he can do. He owns a cattle on a thousand. Is a thousand cattle on a hill or a thousand hills? He owns it all, and he can do anything. See, and I began to understand that I wanted him to be that God to me, the God that can do anything, the God that can, you know, when I'm in trouble, he comes to the rescue, girds me up and makes me strong and does the work on my behalf. I wanted him to be a God like that, to work out the issues in my life, circumstance. I wanted him to be a anytime, anywhere God. I had to get a revelation of him. God does not lie. He can't tell a lie. If he tells a lie, then the whole universe falls apart. So if he recreated me truly into a new person, if I am a new man in Christ, and I am, and I call myself a Christian, then I too can be anointed to do the work of God. I had to accept it, right? I was like, well, dog, he said it. If he said it, I must be it. So let's go and do it. Some of you are like, I can't do it. I can't be that person. He said that you do greater things than he did. Jesus said that when he walked on earth. Do you not believe him? Do you believe him? He said it. I must be able to do it. How can I do it? Till Christ be formed in you, laboring in prayer. Oh God, I'm calling on you. Come on, God, do something to me. Change on the inside of me. Let me get rid of all this dead stuff, my flesh. Let me get rid of all that stuff so that I can walk in the Spirit, so that I can walk where you desire for me to walk and begin to be this anointed one, the one to truly walk in the way of Christ. There are ministers down through the history of the current modern church who believed this way. One of them was Smith Wigglesworth. Everybody knew he was called the Apostle of Faith. He raised 21 people from the dead, I think it was. This is a man, born again. I think he died in 1989. His ministry didn't start till he was 48. Trying to get a hold of you guys, because I know we're all getting up here. We think that sometimes God is finished with us. God is not. Matter of fact, we're the ones that have the most word inside of us, germinating, formulating over the years. He is waiting for that seed to come forth for you to be the anointed one. He's waiting for you to do it. He's going to be there right where he said he would, because in order to do it, you're going to have faith and trust in him. But you got to step out and do it. Right? You got to step out and go, okay, I'm going to lay hands on him, God. I'm going to pray for him. All right. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. Okay. You know, you can't do this in front of the person you're praying for. You go, what? You going to do that? They're going to run off. But you got to build yourself up. You say, well, what if they don't get hit? That's not your problem. Your exercising of the glory of God on the inside of you is your obedience to him. I need obedient people. We need obedient people. Why? Because that's how Christ be formed in you. You need to start being obedient. Well, and he'll start you all small with some little things, and he'll build up to some bigger things. But you got to be obedient. You got to start, okay, God, what I need to do today? How can I be obedient to you today and follow after you and show forth that we are Christians? Some of you think that you have to witness every day and do up. You have to be obedient to Christ. It may be, I need to get up. I need to put some clothes on my children. I need to make sure they're clothed and bathed and fed. I need to make sure they get off to school properly this morning. That may be your obedience to God that day. Come on, y'all. Come on. Hear this word. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. This is your purpose, because all of that is germinating, right? Causing us to be part of the body of Christ. We shouldn't have to worry about those people who call themselves Christians but are not. But sometimes it makes you upset, because you're like, what are they not doing? Nothing. They're not praising and worshiping God. They just come in here and sit down on a chair. Some of them fall asleep while the pastor's preaching. Some of them want to complain about when the word comes for them. Why you preach that word for? We need something else. Why we ain't got no more water bottles or coffee or donuts or whatever, you know? Coming in the house of God, ain't ready to do nothing. And you're like, God loves them. Yes, he does. Loves them just like he loves us who are laboring, praying, coming here Wednesday after Wednesday. Some of us day after day, falling on our face, calling out, oh God, on your behalf, so that we would get to the place where we understand the power and the might of God. So we all become those little children following after Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that does it all. He's the one. We are nothing. He is all, right? Remember, we become his righteousness as we are hid in him, as we accept him as our Savior. So Christians are anointed people. People who are anointed, people who are doing the works of God, great and small. I want you to ask yourself this question in your heart today. Am I anointed of God? Am I anointed of God? If I'm not anointed of God, then I'm letting down the Christ who has called me. And I need to do something. So that when I close my eyes and go before God, I can say, thank you, Jesus. I am the anointed because of you. I am the one who stands in the place where you have designed for me to stand, and I am here because of your purpose, and I will do whatever you said that I could do. I will be whatever you said I could be. All right, winding down here. I always just write down so many different scriptures, and I want to tell you about them, but let me go do two sections, okay? One section is, we talked about prayer. I think Pastor was talking about prayer in one message. And he mentioned in Ephesians, you know, there are two prayers that we as believers can pray over ourselves, over everybody else, over the church. I'm going to give you those prayers. I want you to write them down. And I want you to consider this. Consider praying this over yourself so that we can become more like God. The first one is Ephesians, the first chapter. We're going to start at the 12th verse, and you can start anywhere in here that you want, but I usually start at the 12th verse. So that we who are first hoped in Christ, who first put our confidence in him, have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. And I'm telling you, when you begin to pray this is what you're praying over yourself. God is going to then begin to let you understand that you have been destined, now this is out of the Amplified, and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. Y'all, because y'all need some revelation, especially about praise and worship. I'm telling you, you need some revelation of the glory of God, because there is good things for you when we begin to magnify the God of glory. When this place, you and I, begin to come together and magnify God to the highest of highs so that the outside world is affected and the doors are open and they flood in here. Why? Because of the praise and worship. I've seen it. Because of you and I giving God glory. Got to open up your heart. Verse 13, in him, we who also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings of our salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. There it goes again. Are you stamped? Are you stamped with the Holy Spirit? Now, I know some of you believe that you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you don't speak in tongues, and I'm not wanting to condemn you about this, but I want to encourage you. Stamped with the Holy Spirit. Get your stamp. Speaking in tongues. Don't have to believe it. Just be encouraged. Verse 14. That Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste the down payment on our heritage in anticipation of his full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. You gotta think in your spirit. You gotta start thinking in your spirit. This is what God is saying. This is what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit in you. Why is it important that you understand it? Why should I go before God and begin to labor for the Holy Spirit? Because this says that he is the first fruits of them that are anointed. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. My prayer is, I always pray for God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant me, Curtis, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Who needs a spirit of wisdom and revelation? This is your prayer. Insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of my heart flooded with light so that I can know and understand the hope to which he has called me and how rich in his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that I can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Come on, this is your prayer for the glory of God to be germinating in you and come forth. You're praying this, that God would do this, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named above every title that can be conferred, not only in the age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him. In that body lives the full measure of him. Do you see the body of Christ today? Does the full measure of him live in that body? Not yet. Who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. You could take that prayer and pray it every day. I prayed it every day for years, over and over and over again. And God begins to open up the scriptures and begin to enlighten you more and more with what and who you are. And you begin to attain to more of what he wants for you. The next one is in Ephesians also. It's in the thoughts. I started at the 14th verse. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which I am built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, its title, that fatherhood from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant me, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling my innermost being and personality. Those of you who think you can still hold on to who you used to be, God wants to give you his personality. This is how the anointed ones were called Christians, because they begin to act like Jesus. They begin to behave like him. They begin to do the things that he was doing. You know, you say, well, if it was the apostles, they were the ones that was doing it. But remember now, they prayed for the deacons. Remember the seven deacons they prayed for, Stephen and Philip. Read it in Acts. They began to do the same thing. They were stoned for it, but they began to do it. Signs and wonders in the earth, began to preach the gospel because they wanted to be like Jesus, Christ being formed in them by the Spirit of God. Verse 17, may Christ through my faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in my heart. May he be rooted deep in love. May I be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that I may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. This is your prayer over yourself. You just open up the Word of God and begin to pray it. Now, I'm going to encourage you not only to pray it in your heart in silence. I want to encourage you to pray it out loud. See, God is a created being. He's not only in your heart. He's everywhere. Speak out your confidence to him. Pray it out loud. You say, well, but I'm in my bedroom. Well, nobody, who? Your wife will hear you. Who? You praying. It'll cause your faith to grow. Why? Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Every time you preach and hear the Word of God, then faith is increased in you. If you need to believe this more and more and more, speak it out of your mouth so that your heart can grab a hold of it, because the Bible tells me my faith is increased when I hear the Word. You say, okay, I get it. Now, if you're praying inside yourself, your ears don't hear it, but your inner heart, your inside hears it. And I can't tell you whether you're going to increase in faith or not, because the Bible doesn't tell me that. I know you can hear yourself when you speak to yourself inside, but I only know, according to Romans 10:17, when you hear, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. All right? That's where you get that. Revelation, right? You say, how'd you come to that? I pray in the Spirit. God said, this is how you want to get faith. This is when your faith will increase. Do this. And I said, oh. Begin to hear the Word. This is why I pray out loud. You come in here on some nights, I'll be in here praying, and you'll hear me praying the Word out loud. You'll hear me. You'll hear it. You know, I'll be over in this corner over here. I'll be praying out. Why? Because I got it. I want to hear the Word. I want it to do what God says it could do for me. I want it to give the Word of God every opportunity. Amen? Verse 19, that I may really come to know practically through experience for myself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that I may be filled through all my being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that I dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout our generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. You mean you pray? I pray it over and over again. I was at one time praying, I prayed those two prayers, and I'm gonna give you the scriptures for these others. I got to read you one of them, but I'm going to give you these other two places. Philippians 3:8. Because they say some good things about us that we want to happen in our life. Philippians 3:8 says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage. I just love the Amplified, because it just makes an emphasis of that word. You know, it just brings it out and just, hey, this is what it means. Overwhelming preciousness. Woo. Priceless privilege. Supreme advantage. Carlo. Of knowing Christ. That's how Paul was thinking about Christ. Christ Jesus. Oh, there it is. Christ, the anointed Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly, for his sake, I have lost everything and considered all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ, the anointed one. Everything that I have, everything that I am of, everything that I think I want to own, I'm going to consider it refuse in order to gain him. And that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the law's demands, ritualistic uprightness, supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the true right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. For my determined purpose is, get that in your spirit right now. Let this be your determined purpose. I may know him. I may know him, Jesus Christ the righteous, Jesus Christ the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ the Anointed One, Jesus Christ the Healer, that I may know him. My determined purpose is to know him. When I rise up in the morning, it's to know him. When I lay my head down to sleep at night, it's to know him. When I begin to speak to one or another, it's to know him. When I come in here on Sunday mornings and praise and worship God, my determined purpose is to know him. That's why it doesn't matter really what the pastor preaches, because my determined purpose is to know him. I'm going to hear him by the Spirit regardless of what he says. I'm going to hear the Spirit of God training me and teaching me regardless of what you guys are saying. You can say the music is too loud. You can say you need to turn it down. You sang that song too long. You can say whatever you want to say. You can say Curtis is crazy. He can say that he's operating in the flesh because he's speaking in tongues. You can say whatever you want to say, but my determined purpose is to know him. I will love you the same because that means I get to know you. Say it if you like. All it does is bring forth the glory of God out of me, because then I can say, oh, I have to forgive my brother 7 times 7. Oh, they made a nasty remark about me, but it didn't matter because I still love them because Jesus still loves them. My determined purpose is to know him. It is a reason why I'm called to be here to do praise and worship in front of all of you. My determined purpose is to know him. Kenneth, is it yours? When you look at me up here, black man, preaching to you about the word of God, is your determined purpose to know him? Can you look past the color of my skin? Can you look past that and go, my determined purpose is to know him? Can you look past what the Spirit of God is saying unto us this morning? Whatever it is, what is your determined purpose this morning? That I may know him, that I may, look what it means, progressively become more deeply, intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit, into his likeness, even to his death, in this hope, that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Do you understand that one? You know, you hear that TV program, The Walking Dead. Well, that's what we are. Your flesh, dead to God, dead to you. It's dead. You got to consider it. You got to make it. You got to say, I'm going to be holding to its desires and its cravings. I'm going to cut it off to gain Christ, to gain what I know to be true about him. I know I'm going a little long, but you got to hear this. You can take that scripture, Philippians 3:8. I take it down to verse 21. I won't read down that far, but you can pray that prayer over yourself. But that determined purpose is really the main point. The fourth scripture is Colossians, the first chapter. Starts at verse 9. This is the fourth prayer that you can pray over yourself. Pray it in your quiet time. Pray it earnestly. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that I may be filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God and an understanding and discernment of spiritual things. And that's the blowout of the Amplified. It just gets it more in detail than what it's saying. It's filled with the knowledge of his wisdom and spiritual understanding. Pray that over yourself. God, let me be filled with the knowledge. Because then that's when you know, Linda, that's when you know what you need to pray over those that need healing and what you can say to them that will cause their lives to change. Isn't that right, Louis? That's when you know. He can give you those things. You begin to pray them. You've asked him for it. Bible tells me if he that hears him, he hears the voice. If he hears our voice, he will answer us in that prayer. That's a promise from God. If you ask him, he'll pray. Verse 9 all the way down to verse 14. Oh, man, that I may walk, live, and conduct myself in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that I may be invigorated. I pray that I may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made me fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn me to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transformed us or transformed me into the kingdom of the, transferred me into the kingdom of the Son of his love, whom he have redeemed through his blood. Ephesians 1, 12 through 23. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Philippians 3, 8 through 21. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Get those prayers. Pray them out until Christ be formed in you. I won't be satisfied until it's coming out of me, the anointing of Almighty God. I won't be satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied, Steve, until I begin to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I'm not going to be satisfied. My determined purpose is to know him. I'm not going to be satisfied until when I begin to sing the glory of God and the cloud of the kind of glory of God comes and encompasses us and lifts us out of our despair and up unto him. I'm not going to be satisfied until Christ be formed in me, until the anointing of God takes a hold of me and begins to do those things which God has commanded. Amen? Not going to be satisfied. I'll give you this one last thing and then I'll close. I bet you to you, because I pray in the Spirit, because I pray these prayers over myself, that God gave me a revelation. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. I still have to do some more studying on it, I'll do some more studying for you. But I was praying here. I remember I told you guys I'm in 1 Samuel, and I'm just reading it. Oh, God has just led me to read it over and over and over, over and over again. It's got some very good things in it. You know, one of the types and shadows, you know, that I was always questioning, I asked God, I said, why are the Philistines always fighting the Israelites? Man, the Philistines, they can't get rid of them. I was like, my God, every time you turn around, they're coming up. You know, they had this Saul and Samuel, and that's on and on and on and on. Right? They would defeat them, and then they come back. They would defeat them, they come back. I said, what is the word with these Philistines? Well, you look up the definition of Philistines, and it is a materialistic person. Right? To me, that was a type and shadow of my flesh. It's materialistic, right? And your flesh, even though we're born again and saved, it's always here. It's always with you. You will always have to be knocking your flesh down in order to get over into the Spirit. You're going to always do that. You're going to always be warring against your flesh. Right? Remember? So the Philistines, this is the part, this is the new part. So the Philistines are always there. Philistines were in five major cities in the Old Testament, in Hebron, I guess, at that time. The five major cities were Ashdod, Gath. Gath is where Goliath came from. There was Gaza, Ashkelon, and Ekron. Ekron. So there were five major lords of the Philistines, and they were always coming at the Israelites. And so I was praying, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, there are five strongholds of your flesh that you're going to have to overcome in relationship to these five lords that were over this. Now, we know the sins of many. There are many sins that we confront in our flesh that we overcome and put down. But he said, there are five strongholds that you need to contend and get rid of. Oh, man. I want to go a little further, but I can't. Time is getting that. And I said, oh, my God, five. Let me tell you what the five is. I'll just give you the headline, and you can learn it for yourself. That through the definitions of those words from, Ashdod, it's word, the Hebrew definition, effusion. And if you look up effusion, it's seeping into it, a normal collection. And what you get out of that is that it stands for covetousness, jealousy. That's a stronghold that's in your flesh that you're going to have to overcome. Covetousness. Gath is a wine press. It's a controlling pressure that's in your life. Well, what does controlling pressures do to you? They bring about fear and anxiety. So that is another stronghold in your flesh. It's fear and anxiety. You're going to have to overcome fear and anxiety. Agitation. Gaza means the strong. Also means to be fortified. I'm like, well, how could that be a negative? Where it's really not. It's being conceited. It's being overly so, right? It's being selfish. It's being, that's a gross misrepresentation of a false sense of security. It's a stronghold in your flesh. You're going to have to overcome that, right? In order to do what God wants you to do in this world. That was, how many was that? Was that four? That was three? Ekron, I forgot. Ekron is barrenness. Barrenness. Torn up by the roots. It means to leave. In other words, the stronghold there is unproductivity. Unproductivity. You're going to have to overcome that in your flesh, being unproductive. Your flesh don't want to do anything. It wants to be selfish and leave. But unproductive. Because barrenness means what? No offspring. You can't reduce it. You can't produce anything. So you're going to have to overcome that in your flesh, that you are unproductive. That's a stronghold that your flesh will try to tell you and convince you of. The last one, Ashkelon. And this is interesting because it's the stronghold that speaks to us about condemnation. It's a stronghold in your flesh that you and I are going to have to overcome. Isn't that good? I got that from the Holy Ghost. I was praying and reading in Samuel, and he related that to, and David was in his prayer time, right, defeating the lion and the bear. He defeated his flesh so that when he came up to the giant, he'd already defeated him. That's why he could go out there with those small fire spoons and whatever. And remember, too, that he did not want to accept the gift. He thought it was, he said, I didn't do anything. I don't deserve to be the king's son-in-law. Remember, he ran for it. Saul had to offer him all these different things before he agreed to do it. Because David was saying, I didn't do anything. He killed a giant. But he knew he was killing God under what? The power of God. He couldn't take the power of God and say he did it. What kind of humility is that? That's why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he wouldn't usurp God's authority. Like some of us will. Look at me. I healed somebody. You need to come listen to me. Because I did something. He ain't done nothing. That was all the power of God. This is also why we need to overcome it, because God is not going to flow through us, because the glory of God is not, the man is not going to get any of the glory. The glory is going to all be his. all going to be because of Jesus, all because of him. That's how the children of God are. That's why we're so crazy about him and why we're so jubilous, because we are in him, because we are let loose of ourselves and we're going, oh, praise the matter. And then he comes and shows up because we got out of ourselves, because we got out of our who we are. We got out of all this stuff that's going on in our flesh. We got out of it. We killed it. We laid it to rest. Amen. Anyway, there's some really good stuff in there. Remember the Philistines stole the glory of God. How in the world can your flesh steal the glory of God? How in the world? By calling yourself a Christian when you're not. What happened to those people? What happened to them when they stole the glory of God? The glory of God began to manifest it, and they began to have tumors and mice, plagues, plagued them. Those tumors are hemorrhoids. Well, if you look it up, what a tumor is, everybody know what a tumor is? It's cancer. When you begin to say things, the glory of God, I want to take onto myself what doesn't belong to me. Glory of God didn't belong to the Philistines. They stole it, and now they got to deal with the consequences. Remember, the first one was Ashdod, and he was like, oh, my God, get this thing out of here. Go, let's take it over to Gath. Let's give it to the next. And they were like, oh, no, don't bring it over here. They brought it anyway. Same thing happened to them. Exact same thing. Tumors began to plague them. And so the third city said, no, we're going to have a meeting. Flesh people, come on, get together. Philistines, lawyers got together and said, okay, now, y'all got to stop this. Can't be bringing this glory to God. We can't stop calling ourselves Christians where we're not. Send it back over to those people. Send it back to them Israelites. And there's a whole big story about how they sent it. But I'm telling you, where does that revelation come from? That came from God. Came from praying those prayers that I just mentioned to you. We are Christians today. The body of Christ. The body of Christ is not going to, Jesus is not going to come back until the body of Christ has his fullness within it. That means you and I, don't be afraid, you and I are going to have to become something other than what we are today. We're going to have to be changing until Christ be formed in us. Now, I know that's a little scary. You know, only you and him can figure that out or what you're going to be. But I'm telling you, we need to grow closer to him in order for him to then start to say, my church is ready to be redeemed out of the earth. It is the whole purpose by which the whole thing was started from the foundations of the world. It is the seed that is germinating right now. Think of a cantaloupe. It's got an outer shell. It's got a piece of fruit. And then in the middle of it, it's got all these seeds. Where is the power of the cantaloupe? It's in the seed, which looks totally different than what the fruit does, also totally different what the outside of it does. The body of Christ is in those states, and we need to grow. Somebody's got to start doing it. Somebody's got to get a revelation and start moving in this direction, right? Somebody's got to start moving in this direction in order for God to say, it's time for me to come back and redeem my church out of the earth. I gave you too much. Stand to your feet. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. We thank you that you are worthy of all goodness and mercy. We thank you for this word, Lord God. Help us, Father God. Train us to understanding what it is, Father God, and to thank you for grasping our part of it and causing us to be who you want us to be. Lord God, we give you glory and praise. And I ask for your mercies and grace, Father God, for going over the time limit. But I thank you for this word, Father. May we again be able to, Father God, sup at your table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.